And Mark Lerner is with us, our very special guest, the astrologer. We'll take your calls. He needs your birth month, day, and year, and a question to start. And we'll be back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're back with Mark Lerner. And Mark, after I give you the information when we go to calls, do you want them to ask you a question, or are you just going to go right into it?
No, good for them to say something, you know.
Okay.
Money, relationship. I mean, relationship is harder because I can't do two charts with one person.
Well, I understand. We only have a certain amount of time,
too. But I do have a little promotional for Coast to Coast. Anybody listening?
Yeah. What is it?
Fast.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. I know that very often you have numbers lady and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so for many years we've had a numerology report, and for anyone listening, we have a 2-for-1 kind of deal, and it's already discounted. If they go to Great Bear Enterprises, we have a shop at the top. There's, you know, they can learn about astrology in the area called About, like what is astrology and star language. But if they go in the shop, the astrology shop, and they go into reports, they can choose 2 numerology reports and put them in the cart, and there's a promo code, which is COAST2COAST, with the number 2, all capitals, COAST2COAST. They have to put that in the promo code, and they get 2-for-1. It's very inexpensive, and they can learn all about their numbers based on their full name at birth and their month, day, and year.
All capitals, but with the 2 in the middle.
Right, exactly. No spaces. And I only mention it because, you know, one of the things about astrology is you got to really know. I mean, for what we're doing tonight, if we don't have the exact time, I can still give, you know, an answer. And just so that people know, this is not in-depth astrology where I do consultations, because the truth of astrology is very deep. You got to do a lot of studies, but this gives at least an orientation to each person calling.
Well, and for sake of time, we're just going to get you the birth month
idea of what's going on, like a major theme.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what about UFOs? We've got a story today on our website about radio bursts that are very strange, coming from way outside of the solar system. Something weird's going on here. Have you looked at UFOs with astrology?
Well, there was a show on a long time ago, Strange Universe, and I remember flying down to Los Angeles and being on the show. And the fellow who's at SETI, I think he's still there.
Seth Shostak.
Yeah, he was there the same night. We both interviewed. But here's the thing. Okay, and I remember, you know, the movie Contact in particular, so it reminds me of some of that stuff, you know, with, you know, Jodie Foster zooming in with all those telescopes, you know, to get a signal.
Yeah.
But it's way into the past, whatever those signals are. And I know they're very rapid, like microseconds of repeating bursts. But they don't know really whether, you know, it could be some kind of thing. They're always finding new things about some very scary, you know, about gamma ray bursts and things that they've never known. I mean, my favorite magazine, the only magazine I actually get, is Astronomy. And we're really seeing how metaphysics and physics are coming together in cosmology. You know, I mean, it would love to be if there was a civilization out there, you know. But I don't see how anybody's going to prove this in the near future unless we get, you know, some kind of actual words or information or mathematical code or something.
And you say if there's a civilization out there.
Well, I do believe that there are lots and lots of civilizations. Although I read an article recently where they were talking about maybe the things about global warming on planets, and we kind of live in a pinball-type universe, as we're now understanding, with all of these things like gamma ray bursts and solar flares and the kind of bursts that could happen, like with the Carrington event in 1859,
mm-hmm, exactly,
which could destroy a lot of civilizations after millions of years. I do believe, though, that there is a spiritual hierarchy, so I don't think the planet is going to get destroyed. I don't think we're going to go through another thing like with the dinosaurs or that kind of thing. I just have a belief that we're not going to destroy ourselves.
Can people easily learn astrology?
No. I mean, yeah. I was lucky enough to find, we've gone over this before, astrology, the space age science. It was the first day I was trying to go to take classes for medical school. My dad had been a doctor, and it just sort of stumbled upon it. But then I found a great teacher. I mean, not so much talking with the teacher, but getting all the books, and I lived in New York. There was a great bookstore called Samuel Weiser, and that was really fascinating. By the way, when you said getting into UFOs, I have right in front of me before we get people's calls, the UFO, the main UFO chart that I use is for June 24th, 1947, at the time that Kenneth Arnold said he saw the flying saucers.
Before Roswell.
Right, and you see, there are things in that chart that are really astounding. They connect up to America's chart. You were just, I guess, advertising about a show about Roswell on the CW, and I know Project Blue Book just came on the History Channel, and so something is up with it. You asked me before, Mark, is anything big going to happen? There's always that disclosure. I mean, you know, finally happening. And the chart for, all I can say is the chart for the UFOs from Mount Rainier and Kenneth Arnold is very powerful and very interesting chart.
All right, to the phones we go. We're going to start, first of all, by going to La Puente, California, Julia. And let me give you her birthday before we go to her so you can get ready here, Mark. August 30th, 1958. August 30th, 1958. First-time caller, Julia's with us. Hi, Julia.
Yes, hello. This is Julia. Hi, George.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. So do you have a question for Mark to start?
Yes. Yes, I do. I've had some very positive things happen to me, that chances that I've taken. And I was just wondering if this just is a phase, or is it a positive turn in my life?
All right. Is these positive things a fluke or the real deal, Mark?
Now say it again. August 30th of 58?
58.
Yes.
Okay. So positive things happening. Well, you're born close to a full moon, and your sun is in Virgo, as you probably know. Your sun sign Virgo. And one of the things, I don't know how recent, but you have Venus in the sign Leo, and currently Jupiter, which is not often in its home sign of Sagittarius, is making what we call a trine, which is a flowing relationship to your Venus. That would be more immediately, more like in the recent future of good things happening. And at the same time, Jupiter is about to cross your Saturn, which only happens once in 12 years. And Jupiter is the planet of optimism, power of positive thinking, and potential wealth. So there's something going on there where Jupiter in a fire sign is aligning with Venus, which is a money planet. And you also have an outer planet called Uranus in Leo. So you're not just a Virgo. That's one part of who you are. You actually have a lot of Leo, and your moon is in Pisces. So that's what I have to say about that.
All right. Good luck, Julia. Hope everything works out for you. Many more calls coming in, Mark. We're going to work you to this hour, to be sure. What do you think about reincarnation as an astrologer?
I think I mentioned once before, I started studying it before I ever got into astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I've been rereading a lot.
And you still keep those strong beliefs that it's the real deal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that, you know, we are spiritual beings having, you know, earthly lives, that we've, you know, the thing that I think is an unfortunate thing is this idea about karma, like, you know, you did something bad.
What goes around comes around.
Or you did something good. I think one of the real problems in all this, you know, and I don't mean to be cute about what I'm about to say, but, you know, we look back to the time of Buddha, you know, time of Jesus, different, you know, Krishna, different amazing figures who've spawned religion. And I just wonder if the same soul or spirit that brought us a Jesus, you know, or a Buddha, or different other people, you know, a Gandhi, you know, Mother Teresa, if they have to live now with what we've got going here, would it be as easy? I mean, not easy, but, you know, it would be so different, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
More people, and I think, you know, the modern movement of meditation, we get back to the whole idea of the full moon or eclipses, you know, full moon, people are meditating now. They never did that, you know, 100 years ago. They didn't really understand that the full moon was, I mean, some cultures might have, you know, shamans, mentors, and so on. But the regular public didn't know that, and now we do have so much potential enlightenment for the planet. But, you know, the stress of 24/7 information overload, social networking, this is not going in the great direction.
Are we getting too technologically advanced?
Well, absolutely, because this whole thing, I mean, and I say this humorously, tell me if you agree with this, George. Do you think it's great that through Tesla and so on, I mean, they're talking about flying cars. And the whole thing about cars that don't need to have a person actually driving it.
That's what I don't like.
You know what? I mean, remember the event in France where somebody stole a truck?
Yep.
Okay. Now, if they start inventing, and I've seen this on advertising, where somebody can control through computers and hacking.
They've tested that, and they can break into computers and cars now.
And that's why this whole thing, and plus this idea of the singularity, you know, this is where we have the difference between wonderful sci-fi movies, you know, things like E.T. and these wonderful possibilities, and then we have the horror side of it because we don't know necessarily what we're getting ourselves into.
I mean, that's so true. Next up, we're going to British Columbia. Harjeet is with us. April 3rd, 1984. April 3rd, 1984. Let's go to the international line. Hello, Harjeet. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Good to have you with us. You have a question for Mark?
Sure. Anything he can comment in terms of my career focus and anything with health?
Okay. Health or career focus, Mark?
Well, let's actually shift it a little bit. You're born with your sun sign Aries, as you probably know, but you have the moon in Taurus. That means you're born in the new moon phase. Everybody's born in a different phase, like new moon, first quarter, full moon, last quarter, and so on. There are subdivisions. But you have an earthy moon, and you have Mercury there, which is a planet of the mind and thinking, and Uranus, the first of the outer planets, is about to go into Taurus. It actually started going there. It hasn't been there for 84 years. In fact, back to what we talked about with the economy and stock market, the New York Stock Exchange is a sun sign Taurus, and one of the things that a lot of economic astrology forecasters are about the waves of shock that we're about to have the next 7 years because Uranus is moving into Taurus, which is a money planet. But what I'd suggest for you is to tune into a lot of kind of new futuristic, you know, what we're just talking about, kind of higher technology, but do it in a sort of logical, common sense way, and there could be some good money in that for you.
Interesting. So just stay on top of things like that.
Yeah. I mean, this person who just called, you also have very psychic powers, but could be used in a very practical way because you have Mercury and Neptune in what we call a trine, a triangular link, which is very flowing. So watch your dreams, tune into things like omens, you know, deja vu. Normally, sun sign Aries people need to just be active and forceful and assertive and be leaders, but, you know, this person is endowed with a lot of psychic and spiritual abilities.
Is astrology primarily planetary alignment or also star alignment?
Well, stars used to be a really big thing when we go back, and we can go back 2,000 years, even longer. I mean, we don't have all the records. I mean, if we had the Library of Alexandria, this is the greatest loss in the history of the world. You know, several times burned down, lost all these, you know, papyri.
They may have found it, some are saying.
Well, if they could find things, I mean, that would be amazing. I'm surprised that Spielberg hasn't done this movie. I mean, I'm waiting for that. You know, the library, the history of that. That would be a wonderful story. But we can go back a long period of time, even before that. This idea of Jupiter-Saturn cycles in fire, earth, air, and water, going back all the way to Babylonia, to like the 700s BCs, and they were recording eclipses. So there's been a lot of, you know, amazing astrology and sort of science over the course of time, and astrology was taught as one of the major disciplines in the universities of Europe back 1,000 years ago. People forget about that.
Next birthday is October 14, 1980, Mark. October 14, 1980. Eric's with us in Sacramento, California. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Career-wise and money.
Career-wise and money, Mr. Lerner.
Well, depending on, do you know what time you're born?
I think it was about 8
in the morning.
Yeah, it's about 8:30 something in the morning.
Okay, well, you have a Sagittarius moon, which I have, and Jupiter, for the first time in 12 years, is in your moon sign. What people don't realize, they think, oh, I'm a, like, for instance, I'm a Libra, like you are, October 14, 1980, I'm a Libra. You read all about that. Now, those traits are strong because it's their qualities that you're trying to energize more soulfully and spiritually for your character, but the moon is more of your instincts. What you're bringing from, as George said, literally from other lives. We can look into charts if we look at the moon, sometimes if we look at the outer planets and certain alignments in the birth chart, we can get a sense of whether people are, like, I shouldn't say more advanced, but sort of like that they're working on projects that they've worked on before. So for the first time in 12 years, Jupiter is aligning with your moon. That means, like I said with the other person, tune into your dreams. Don't discount them. Use your intuition, and that could bring some good money into your life or some successful opportunities. So that's one of the big things I see happening for you in your chart.
What's the number one question for astrology that people ask?
Well, I would suppose it's love and relationship. That's probably more than anything. I mean, money is up there.
That's
when you really get into it, though, things like astrocartography things or astrolocality, because of what I said, Jim Lewis, this fellow who was had a wonderful mind and sort of, I'm not saying he was the sole inventor, but he refined everything. So, for instance, I said this before, every state of the union has a chart for when it entered the union. Every country has a chart. Cities have charts when they're incorporated or when they're founded. And sometimes people are just not living in the right place, or they're traveling around a lot, and maybe people are successful or are not because they're either going to the right places that help them astrologically, or they're not going to the right places and why they're not succeeding.
Can you do a reading for someone who wants their husband read, even though they're the one calling in?
Well, that sort of gets into that horror, the kind of asking a question. The two ancient forms of astrology, because they didn't have the books that allow us, like we get all our information translated from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I mean, where we see the planets now and in the different signs, it's very exact. We have all the software.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect, and as long as we know the birth time. But that's the other part of all this. If a woman or whoever comes in and says, you know, I want to know more about my husband or me and my husband, again, we have reports and where that will be clarified. People can order compatibility reports on our website. And as long as you have month, day, and year, time, and place, then that will give people a good snapshot of beginning to understand, you know, what's going on with their chart.
You can get a really specific with all that.
Yeah, there's what's called a compatibility as friends or lovers. There's also something called simpaticos, where we can actually chart the relationship, not just how they're interrelating, but it's got sophisticated enough in the last 10, 15 years. What is their relationship, which is different from how they relate to each other? It's very sophisticated now.
Indeed it is. And we got a minute before the break, Mark, and then we'll come back and take final phone calls with you. Of everything you've done astrologically, what one thing for you has been the most satisfying that you've done in your entire career? Is there one thing that stands out that you said, I'm glad I'm an astrologer, this is what I was here for?
Well, the foremost thing that I've studied more than anything else is John F. Kennedy and what happened on November 22nd, 1963.
Yeah.
The most positive thing is learning why I love sports, why I grew up in New York, where I had all that access to sports and was able to experience it, and how sports and numbers are the bedrock of astrology. It all came from sports, George.
Favorite baseball team?
Don't ask me. I'm from New York.
It's the Yankees, isn't it?
Well, I love the Mets, too.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Any Super Bowl predictions?
No, not yet.
All right.
I want to see if the Eagles actually get further along than they are.
Might be the Eagles and Rams. Who knows? We're going to come back in a moment and take final calls with Mark Lerner on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour on Coast to Coast, the spiritual meaning of the 60s, an incredible story, and you'll be part of that. When we come back in a moment with Mark Lerner, we will take your final phone calls as we talk about astrology. We are back with the astrologer, Mark Lerner. We will get your calls as well as we talk about your future. So many callers coming, Mark, not enough time, so let's go to the calls now. And I was mentioning someone wanted to call about her husband. We're going to do that with Barbara. Her husband's birth date is January 8th, 1953, January 8th, 1953. And we're going to Barbara in Carmel, Indiana. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Happy New Year.
You too. Now, you have a question for your husband?
Oh, I'm here.
Hi. I just want to know about his year, what's going to happen this year. Any surprises?
Well, I'm wondering if in the last 2 years, whether your husband went through a kind of catharsis. So opposite of a death rebirth type transformative experience?
I just changed companies not too long ago.
All right.
That was due to the fact that people born around January 7, 8 or 9 of any given year have just had Pluto, the outermost planet, cross over their sun. Pluto has a 247-year cycle. So the good thing about Pluto and is if you use it for research to really delve in, go deep with inside, to kind of determine soulfully where you're at, what you want to do, what you need to do, you know, for the future. And very often when people lose a job or change, at first it may be disappointing, and then it's like, wait a minute, maybe there's something positive here, you know, to tune into. And the other reason there's been challenges in your work is Saturn has just entered Capricorn, and not only are you a sun sign Capricorn, but you have Mercury in that sign. So over the last year, Saturn was on Mercury. Now, Saturn can be very helpful. It's the great teacher when it works well. And so fundamentally, I'd say that spiritually, kind of these higher lessons at night through dreams, just through your daily experiences, the teachings are kind of try and deal with logic, common sense, and sort of rework everything. And Saturn's also strong because it's making what we call a trine, in fact, in the last week or two, to Jupiter in your chart. So work with Saturn. It's sometimes a taskmaster, but basically hard work, perseverance, determination in whatever field, and a lot of research and investigation should lead you to something really positive.
Are most astrological charts, Mark, positive?
Well, I wanted to bring this up. I wanted to tell everybody, you know, when I first started, there was an alignment in my own chart. And if I didn't have a good teacher, his name was Dane Rudger, one of the preeminent astrologers of the 20th century. If I didn't study his books, I would have never gotten into it, because there's an alignment in my chart where a lot of the books were saying, you know what, you're gonna have a lot of antipathy, you know, like in school, you may rebel, you feel restricted about things. And then I read one thing where he said, however, you can help people rid themselves of fear, and that's part of your gift. And it turned everything around. So what I want to tell everybody is there are some people who are lucky. You know, they escape from difficulties that other people don't have because of an alignment in their birth chart, or, you know, they make more money or whatever it is. So we can find those alignments in a chart. But every single chart, like Carl Jung's birth chart, is a perfect example. And he actually studied astrology, the astrology of married couples, ironically, because this woman is asking about her husband. So Carl Jung has a very difficult birth chart, but he was able to sort of work that by studying a subject that he was really almost a founder of, and he was certainly a founder of Jungian psychology, but him and Freud being the two leaders of a brand new field. He used astrology to his advantage, but if he had gone to an astrologer, if there was a big astrologer at that time, they might have said, look, you know, you're in for a lot of trouble in this life, and he proved them wrong.
Next up, we go to Linda Marie in Medford, Oregon. Here's the birth date, November 21, 1970. Okay. Linda, welcome to the program again.
Hi, George. Hi, Mark.
Hi there.
I also have my time of birth, which is 8:05 a.m.
8:05 a.m., okay. Mm-hmm. November 21, 1970, 8:05 a.m., Mark.
Okay, well, you're still just before Sagittarius, but you do have a Scorpio sun, as you undoubtedly know. You have a Virgo moon, and so one of the big things there is on a day-to-day level, because the moon is so powerful, organization, efficiency, making sure all the details, the little things are humming along. And if the little things get out of whack, that's going to be a big worry. In fact, the whole idea of Virgo is not to worry, to kind of study things and work really hard, you know, again, at sort of the most physical task and opportunities that you have. Even though your sun is not in Scorpio, you do have Mercury in Sagittarius. Okay, your sun is in Scorpio, but Mercury, the planet of the mind, is in Sagittarius, and Jupiter is right there now, and it's going to come back also in the summer through retrograde motion. And Jupiter on Mercury is an enormous sort of bolt of optimism, and it hasn't happened for 12 years, and it also can lead to success, achievement, expanding your horizon, something successful happening for you in 2019 with Jupiter on Mercury.
All right, good luck, Linda. Do you ever use Earth in any astrological charts?
You ask great questions, George.
Well,
Earth is used in, drum roll, heliocentric astrology.
What is that?
The whole thing is that, well, one of my great teachers and mentors is a fellow named Michael Erlewine out of Michigan. And we had a sort of battle in the beginning. This is back in the 70s, because he started sharing all about heliocentric astrology because we don't live on the sun. But he said you can still do astrology, and the Earth is in the chart. There's no sun. Nobody would have a sun sign, but the Earth is in the chart, and then you have different kind of planetary positions. They're a little different than the normal, what we call geocentric chart. But that, he felt, was more soulful and spiritual because it has the sun at the center rather than the Earth at the center. So he made me a believer. But the thing is, we're not going to change everybody into heliocentric astrologers. However, I can create a heliocentric chart for any person. It's just that most people don't even understand what that's all about, that it does exist.
Interesting. You used to call your astrology mundane astrology. What does that mean?
Well,
to me, it sounds like it's ho-hum.
You know, the thing is, I can't change the fact, George, that it was called this a long time ago, and I think that the astrologers, in order, they chose a word that is more related to, we'd have to go into the etymology of the word mundane. Now,
I think it changed,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, it did change. That's what I'm saying. Mundane astrology was like, oh my God, this is like, these people are not just personal astrologers, they're studying the nation, they're studying the world. That's what it's all about. We study, like I mentioned before, every state has a chart in America for when it entered the Union. Cities are founded and incorporated, and if we can get all of that information, corporations, one of the big things in studying not just stock markets, but stocks like Apple and Netflix and whatever it is when did they begin as companies? For instance, when does a company go their IPO, for instance, that kind of thing. All of these things are significant. The beginning of anything, whether it's having a job, being born, people have a baby, starting a job, leaving a job, all of these things have astrological charts, and they all are either intermeshing well or not.
Interesting. Yeah, I think you're right, because now mundane seems ho-hum, boring, right, that kind of thing, and that's not what it is.
It's more national, world, sort of earth astrology, I guess it'd be better to call it.
Next up, we're going to Bob in New Jersey City, and he's got all the info for you. December 29, 1957, 12-29, 1957. Bob was born at 1:42 p.m., and welcome to the program. Hi, Bob.
Hello, George. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Yes, and I was born in Jersey City, New Jersey.
There you go. And do you have a specific question for Mark?
Yeah. Any advice to improve my health and finances?
Health and finances, Mark.
Okay. And I just want to make sure the date is December 29, 57.
Yep. At 1:42 p.m.
Yes.
Okay. You have Venus in Aquarius, which is a very unique ability to draw magnetically in group activities, team activities, things like that, team sports, group activities. You have Jupiter in alignment with Mercury. You are one of these persons, by the way, with Mercury retrograde. Do not despair, though. Mercury retrograde can be very powerful. 16% of the population has it. A lot of famous people and well-known people, inventors, actors, leaders of the world have Mercury retrograde. And your Mercury and your Jupiter are in what we call a 60-degree alignment. So that's fortuitous. In other words, you have good mental energy. And you're also born with the Moon in Aries. So you got to be a leader. And with your Sun in Capricorn, both are signs of leadership, being in charge. You're not going to be happy doing anything like where you're on the, you know, working underneath, you know, too many people. You need to be at the forefront of things. And you're also getting Jupiter going over your Saturn in Sagittarius for the first time in 12 years. So the power of positive thinking, tuning into dreams, and sort of targeting things, aiming for the bullseye, you know, creating higher goals for this year. That'll help you enormously.
Good luck, Bob. Mark, did you ever meet a planet you didn't like?
I'm not too fond of Pluto, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah, well, there's all... Yeah, you see, the thing is, depending on one's own chart and then watching the cycles, I don't particularly care for Mars. Mars is, you know,
Is Mars the warring planet?
Yeah, well, traditionally the planet of war, but it also in ancient times and still does. I mean, soldiers planting seeds, working, being a leader, being strong-willed, being passionate in good ways. Sports people often have very strong Mars. Being the person who's done the cosmic calendar for 37 years and doing all this work, I'm very tuned in, obviously, with Saturn, and that kind of energy is in my chart. And that's part of the thing that made me successful instead of never doing this whole thing in the first place because of my teacher describing an aspect in my chart that I could help people eliminate fear and I could help them succeed in higher work and being more determined and using logic and common sense often to get where they're going.
Well, that's the way to do it, to be sure. Let's take a call from Lynn in North Carolina. We've got April 14, 1956. April 14, 1956. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, George.
Good to have you with us. You have a specific question for Mr. Lerner?
I sure do.
All righty.
I kind of been on the fence about buying a piece of property.
All right.
I'm not good with money. I usually make big mistakes and wish I had all the money I wasted.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether to get this or not. I'm kind of on the fence about property.
Well, that's a very complex kind of thing. I want to be really clear about that. The question you asked, one of the big things I do for people when I do actual consultations is I help them to define their questioning and when to do things versus when not. So it's often
timing.
Not like, should you do it or not? It's if you are going to do it, when should
when
you
to
do
it?
Like, we don't want you doing things. Mercury is going to go retrograde, for instance, on March 5 for 3 weeks. And we're talking now on January 10th. So if this were to, you know, you start investigating things and suddenly you feel like March 6th or March 10th or March 20th that you want to make the decision and Mercury's retrograde, you really need to talk to another astrologer. And the thing is, it's not that Mercury retrograde happens to be bad as an individual. It's just that sometimes communications will go awry when that happens and you have to be careful. The other thing I want you to know is that from what you just said, you have a Gemini moon, even though you're a sun sign Aries, which is fiery and assertive and you need to be strong individual. Your moon is in Gemini and you have Venus in Gemini. And we've been talking a lot about Gemini, good Gemini and challenging Gemini. When Gemini works well, you have strong ideas, your mind is powerful, your intellect is good, and you can be good with communication. But there's a shadow side to every side, and Gemini can waver, it can vacillate, it can be split inside of itself where you're like, should I or shouldn't I? I don't know what to do, and you get into a quandary. So watch out for duality, feeling split inside yourself where you never get to do the higher Aries assertive leadership energies that you're born with.
Will you tell our audience again, Mark, the offer that you've got for them?
In fact, yeah, I wanted to do that. And if they have any questions, they should email me first, okay, and they can get the email from where you're at, from coast to coast. It's basically coast to coast, all capitals, coast with the number 2, and then coast, no spaces. They go to Great Bear Enterprises. They need to sort of load 2 numerology reports, advanced numerology, into their cart, and then before they actually leave, there's a square area for promotion. They need to put that in. It's already discounted, but then they'll get 2 for the price of 1, which is a real deal, and it's only for Coast people listening tonight.
Super.
It goes for 5 more days, 4 more days.
All right, let's squeeze one more quick call if we can. We've got Terry in Auburn, California. May 26, 1954. May 26, 1954. Go with your question, Terry.
Hi, George and Mark. Thank
Hi.
You for taking my call.
Sure.
I was born at 5:15 p.m.
5:15 p.m. on May 26, 54. And a quick
and
question.
My question is love and health. How does that look for 2019?
Okay, well, you're a Pisces moon. Interestingly, the last caller tonight, Gemini Sun. We've been talking a lot about Gemini and Mercury in Gemini. So, like I said, and you have a Pisces moon, which is interesting, and Neptune is now in Pisces, and that means watch out for confusion. Make sure that the communications and the feelings and the emotions that you have for any person you would meet, that you want to get, like, extra information. Don't just, you know, trust, oh, the person said, you know, A, B, or C. This sounds wonderful because it could be too good to be true. So Pisces moon is very psychic. you know, and your feelings and moods are very important with any relationship. And again, like I said to the previous caller, watch out for this kind of internal duality where you kind of feel split and you keep dividing inside of yourself. Should I? Shouldn't I? Is this a good person or not? Gemini does much better when it finds like a synthesis, a third way. It is the third sign of the zodiac. And when you sort of leap up higher above even your intellect into what we might call your intuition and work a lot with that.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate that, Mark. And keep in touch with us, okay?
Will do. Thank you, George.
Mark Lerner, the astrologer, whose website is greatbearenterprises.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, the spiritual meaning of the 60s.